Lord has a word for us today. If you could turn to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. Genesis 13 and verse 10. I'm just going to read it for you. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Amen. And I'm going to just stop there, because today we have a choice. Today we have a choice. Lot chose the plain, the flat, well-watered land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was left with the mountains. This little word I have for you today is, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Father, we just come to you this afternoon in faith, believing, Lord, that the word is the seed of God. Lord, then if you will plant it in our hearts, that it will bring forth a harvest of faith, of encouragement, of edification, of deliverance, of blessing, of healing. We thank you right now for victory over the enemy and his devices. Hallelujah. And we bind the enemy and every spirit that is not of you. We thank you right now for victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God a praise offering right now. Give God a praise offering. Tell your neighbor, give me my mountain. Hallelujah. Give me my mountain. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10. You see, it's not obvious that the mountain was the best place to Lot. The Bible said he looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. You may be seated. And he looked with his eyes, and that's what he chose, was Sodom and Gomorrah, because it looked good. But I'm trying to tell you tonight that this afternoon, the place to choose is the mountain. The mountain. It's not the easiest place. It's steep. It's rocky. It's got stones. Revelation 21 and verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I'm telling you, the place you're going to find God is on the mountaintop. Jesus went alone up into the mountain to pray. Don't go choosing Sodom. Don't go choosing the plains. Don't go choosing the well-watered, the way it looks to your eyes, because that's where there is disaster. That's where there will be judgment. But you're going to have to say, give me my mountain. Give me my mountains. The mountains in the Old Testament were the high places. They're mentioned so many times in Scripture. It was where they also went to winnow the wheat, to thresh the wheat because of the wind, the spirits that would move on the top of the mountain. They would throw up the wheat and it would let the chaff blow away and the grains would fall to the ground. It was a valuable place, a mountaintop that had wind, that had air blowing through it. It was a valuable place. It was a place of escape. You'll find that finally when Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what he said? We're going to the mountains. That's where he ended up going after he left Sodom and Gomorrah, because judgment was going to fall on the plains. And he said, you know what? We better go up to the mountains. That's where you're going to have to go. You're going to have to tell Satan, listen, I know it looks tough. I know it looks rocky. I know it looks stony, but give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. The mountain is your place of escape. You understand that when the flood waters came upon the earth, you know where the first place the ark rested? It came down upon the mountain. On Mount Ararat was where the ark of the God came down on Mount Ararat. I'm telling you, that's where we got to run to. It may look difficult. It may look as if it's an impossible place. It may look like going downhill would be better. But you better run to the mountain. It's a spiritual place. You'll find that when the two spies left Jericho, you know where they went to hide? They went up to the mountains. You'll find that they hid there for 3 days. That's in Joshua chapter 2, 22. Because it's the place of safety. It's the place of deliverance. Although it looks high. Although it looks dark. Although it looks cold. Don't go down to Sodom. Don't go down to the place that to your eyes looks good. Because that's the place of judgment. That's the place of destiny for those who are going to be falling. You got to run to the mountain. Let me tell you something else about the mountain. It's a place of sacrifice. You're not going to get up there very easy. God told Abram, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love, and I want you to take him where? To the mountain. And there I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. To get to the mountain is going to cost you. You're going to have to be willing to pay some price, as I taught Tuesday night. But if you want the blessing, if you want God to say, I know him, he will teach his children, I know him, I'm going to call him my friend, you're going to have to take your sacrifice to the mountain. You're going to have to be willing to get off of the plain of the flatland and go up the mountain. It's also a place of temptation. Isn't it where the devil took Jesus? But guess what? It's also a place of victory. Luke chapter 4, verse 5, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain. See, it's on the mountain that you can see a lot of stuff. But don't come down. Stay where God puts you. It's also a place of temptation. It's the place where Satan is going to come and want to show you stuff and say, you know, if only you would do this. But it's also the place of victory. The devil taking him up and high mountain showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. It's when you're at your peak, Satan will want to come to take you down. He doesn't care about you when you're in the valley. He doesn't care what you're doing down there. But when you're on God's plan, when you're going up the mountain, when you have decided to fight, when you've decided to sacrifice, when you've decided to go and give God his due, that's when he's going to be coming after you. He don't care about you if you're going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll let you alone. That's fine. It was only after Lot went down there that God said to Abraham, now I got you. Look around you. Abraham was looking around at all these mountains and said, God, this is what you're going to give me? Yes. Because God wants your high places. You know, a lot of people in the Old Testament, that's where they put their idols. But God wants you to tear down the idols and worship him, hallelujah, in the high place. It's also the place of revelation. It's also the place of revelation. It was where Moses saw the burning bush on Mount Horeb. He was up halfway up the mountain when he saw the bush that was burning but wasn't consumed. I'm telling you, you start your journey up the mountain, you'll start to see things from God. He'll start to give you revelation. He'll start to change your nature because you're moving up the mountain. You know, it's not easy. It's so much easier to go downhill. It's so much easier to go down into the plains of Jordan, the well-watered plains where it looks like everything is going good. But if you listened and read the scripture, it said, before God destroyed it. Before God destroyed. We can't walk by sight, but we got to walk by faith. And it is an act of faith and a step of faith to go up the mountain, to go up where it's difficult, to climb, to go up where God wants us to reach higher. He told Moses, in 3 days, I'm going to ask you to come up the mountain. There's going to be trumpets and there's going to be noise. I'm telling you today, we're going to have to tell the devil, I don't care what you say, I want my mountain. I want my mountain. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of dedication. It's a place of getting close to God. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, when Jesus had sent the disciples away, you know what he did? He went alone up the mountain. You need to have a mountaintop experience with God. You need to be ready to pray. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. It's a place of prayer. It's a place where you can have some solitude. You need to find your mountaintop. You need to tell the devil, listen, I'm not tempted by the plain of Jordan. I'm not going down to Sodom. It looks good. They got great music down there. Oh, there's a party going on down there. You got to go up the mountain alone. If you start taking people with you, some of them may say, you know what? This is a bit hard. I think we'll camp here. No, you got to go up. What does it say? And he went up into the mountain apart. He sent, there's a time when you're going to have to do this mountain climbing by yourself. But yet you're not alone. Jesus said, for he will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of separation unto God, because not many people want to go up the mountain. Oh no, they'd rather go to party town. They'd rather go and see where their friends are going. They'd rather go in town to the crowds. It's a place of solitude. It's a place of planting. What? You can plant on the mountain? Oh yes, you can. Exodus 15:17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. See, God wants you firmly planted upon his mountain. It looks easy in the valley. It looks like that's okay. But remember what David said in Psalm 23? He called it the valley of what? The shadow of death. We need today to be able to claim our mountaintop experience. The devil wants us to just be happy with being in the valley, but sometimes you're going to have to fight your way to the mountaintop. See, the mountain that you're facing could actually be your place of victory. Could be your place of triumph. It's not something to go back on. In the Old Testament, we see that there was this man called Caleb. And he was one of the only two people who made it all the way from Egypt, all the way to the promised land. Now, I don't know why his parents named him Caleb, because Caleb means dog. Now, I don't know, in those days, maybe it meant a very good thing, but of course, today, you wouldn't want to name your child dog. That's one of the meanings. But let me try and explain something to you. It doesn't matter what the devil has named you. It doesn't matter what Satan has put upon your past. It doesn't matter what your generational curse was. It doesn't matter if your father was an alcoholic. It doesn't matter whatever the name was in your past, what they call you. Because God has got a different name for you. He was one of the 12 spies that was sent out by Moses to go and see this beautiful land. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, and he managed to stay faithful to God, not despised, not discouraged by the fact that in that land were giants. He was not discouraged. And in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, after they had been in the wilderness 40 years and it was time now to cross over into Jordan, this was his testimony. He says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Can you say that today? Behold, the Lord has kept you alive. Despite going through the wilderness, despite the deserts, despite the hardships, 40 years in the desert. Behold, the Lord. That was his testimony. Behold, not me, not my skill, not my talent. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive. 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day. Sometimes you have to speak to yourself and declare to Satan a few things. Here he was, 85 years old, and then he declared this in verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. He's about to go to war at 85. At 85, he's decided, listen, I came this far by the Lord. He kept me alive. I want to finish this journey. There was one thing left for Caleb to achieve. They had called him the dog, but he was sticking to it. There's something about a dog. You know, they're so loyal. They will follow you all over the place. You'll have to say, go home. And then you turn around and they're there following you. I remember when I was about 3, I have some glimmers of memory of we had 2 dogs. This was in Jamaica when I was really, really young. And my dad would sit on the porch and he would get his accordion and start to play. And you know what those dogs would start to do? Ow! And my dad would get so frustrated. He didn't want a dog chorus accompanying him. And I remember as a little kid, he would get up and he would go to the dogs and say, shut up, and try and stop them. He'd go back and sit down, get his accordion out, start to play. Those dogs were determined. Caleb was determined. This is what he says, verse 12. Listen, I still have strength. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. This is what he told Moses. Everybody else was dividing up the land. These people wanted this nice flat plain. Some people wanted this beautiful valley where the River Jordan went through. What does Caleb say he wants? I want this mountain. I want this mountain. I'm telling you, you need to face your mountain and declare to the devil, listen, it's my mountain and you're not having it. I'm telling you, we got to face the mountain. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in the day, for you heard in the day. Now, this mountain wasn't just any sort of mountain. It's full of Anakims. And if you don't know what Anakims are, they're the giants. Not only did he not pick somewhere nice and cushy, he's picking the mountain that is full of the giants. The very giants that everybody said, ooh, we can't deal with this. For you heard in the day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord hath said. I'm telling you, God has already given you the victory. You just need to tell the devil, give me my mountain, get out the way. I'm climbing up. I'm not coming back down. I'm facing my mountain. You would think that there was some great meaning and deep significance since he was Joshua's right-hand man, just as Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. You would think that there was something wrong that his name means dog. But let me tell you about a dog and persistence. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. I'm talking about Caleb and his name being dog. I want to show you something about the dog. And he answered her not a word. Does it feel sometimes that Jesus is not listening to you? He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. This woman was making a noise. She was making an embarrassing scene. She was determined she was going to get her mountain. Please send her away. Shut her up. Then she came and worshipped him, verse 25. Because he told her, listen, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the household of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Ooh. At that point, the church was empty. At that point, everyone left. At that point, everyone turned around and said, I don't have to put up with this. Listen to what she said. She said truth. She didn't even know. She agreed with him. She said truth. Lord, yet the dogs. You see, Caleb got what everybody thought was the crumbs because he got the mountain. Everybody else was fighting Moses. We want this part next to the Jordan River. We want this part next to the coast with the beautiful beaches. Caleb got left with the crumbs. He said, give me my mountain. Listen to what the woman said. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. What I'm trying to tell you, when you start to say, give me my mountain, Jesus is going to notice. He's going to say, look at this person. They're asking for the mountain. They're not asking for the easy, cushy beaches, with the nice seaside. They're asking for the mountain. I'm going to have to step up here. I'm going to have to answer them. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, you know why that woman was healed? Her daughter was healed because she didn't care what she was called. You have to ignore what the world calls you. Stupid, loser, cult member. When you don't care about being called a dog, you can get your victory. You can get your mountain. You can get your deliverance. You can get your revival. You will get your healing. Now let me tell you something else interesting about this story. Because although whoever his parents was called him Caleb, as I've told you before, when God calls you, he changes your name. He gives you a new name. Let me tell you what God called Caleb. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. You know what God called him? Servant. In the Hebrew, that's Ebed. So his father, or whoever called him dog, God said, he belongs to me. When God calls you and he says, you belong to me, you're on another level. You're on another level. But God said, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. See, that's the thing about a dog. They'll just follow you no matter where you go. No matter where you go. I saw a thing, I think it's, can't remember exactly, maybe it was on Facebook, and this guy had a little pet dog, and he was playing tricks with the dog. He opened this door, and then he went up and he pretended like there was a barrier there, so he jumped over the barrier. So the dog came following him, came to the door, and then stopped and was looking around for the barrier. Couldn't see the barrier, so he decided he'd just jump anyway. You see, when Satan puts up an imaginary barrier, it's not real. All you have to do is follow the master. Jump anyway. Jump anyway. See, because God called him servant, it didn't matter what other people called him. It doesn't matter what other people call you if your name is servant of the living God. See, it didn't make sense that he wanted the worst place in Israel, the place that was a mountain to start with, and then on top of that, it was the place where the giants lived. It was the place where the giants lived. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, I want to show you a revelation. The revelation is that the mountain that is your trial, that it is your burden, you can conquer it. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest that thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea? Do you understand he was one of the two spies that gave the pledge to Rahab? And when they escaped, where did they escape to? The mountain. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. And Moses sware on that day, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. When he left Rahab, where did he run to? The mountain. Surely the land where you have trodden shall be your inheritance. So it doesn't matter wherever you go. If you run to the mountain, that's going to be your inheritance. 40 years Caleb was in the desert, the children of Israel. 40 years earlier, they thought they could have gone straight into the land, but because of a lack of faith, they ended up wandering in the wilderness. See, we leave Egypt with our sins, and like Caleb, maybe we end up wandering around with the children of Israel, but I'm telling you, whatever God has promised you, even if it takes 40 years, he had said, wherever your feet tread, that's what you're going to inherit. If you could stand with me, I'm going to be short today. Joshua Chapter 14, verse 11. As yet I am strong this day. He declared some things over his flesh. 85 years, he said, I'm still strong. I'm going to remember the promise that God gave me. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, I want that mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Whatever you're facing, whatever's already occupying your mountain, if the Lord has said it's yours, if you have walked up and down it, if you have decided you're going to climb it, the Lord will be able to help you drive out the enemy. Amen. It was his mountain. God had given it to him. God has given us Milwaukee. It's certainly a mountain. It looks impossible. It looks like it can't be climbed. It looks like it can't be scaled. I want to tell you, we need to say, give me my mountain. If your mountain is sickness, you can climb that mountain and overcome it. If your mountain is a family issue, you can take it. Matthew 17, verse 1. I'll tell you where Jesus likes to take people. Mountains. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and bringeth them up where? Into high mountain. He was going to share a special experience with them. Something that was just for them. God has got a special experience for you on the mountaintop. He told them, this is just for you two. And you know what he did? He revealed his glory before them. He told them, don't tell anyone else yet. This is just for you. I want to tell you today, God has got a mountaintop experience. The thing that you're fearing, the thing that you're wondering, can you do it? Can you make it? That's the very place of your victory. It's the very place of your triumph. It's the very place of Satan's defeat in your life. Because Jesus is going to take you up there. I'm finishing this, but I just want to give you one more scripture. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Here's the prophecy. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow. Let's say it together, people shall flow. People shall flow. People shall flow. That seems impossible. How can people flow up a mountain? That's what God has said. Caleb, whose name means a dog, but God called him Ebed, my servant. He said, give me my mountain. You guys can have the rest. God promised that that's where I escaped to when I left Jericho, and he's going to give it to me. It's just a matter of our faith, our heart, and our direction. Where is our heart right now? Where is our thinking right now? Are we thinking about what God wants in our life? Or are we just thinking what we want in our life? Are we thinking about what our direction is? Because if we do, we'll take Lot's direction. We'll go down to the plains of Jordan where the party is. But as I said Tuesday and Thursday, God is not mocked. Can't fool him. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Of the 3 million people, 600,000 men besides women and children that left Egypt of 20 years old and above, only two people made it from Egypt to Canaan. Joshua. And what does his name mean? It's Jesus, Yeshua. The Lord saves. Who did he save? The other person that went? The dog, Caleb. Yeshua went with Caleb into the promised land. Think about that. See, God is going to be doing something very soon. I'm sure of it. I feel it. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a falling away. 600,000 men left Egypt. Only Yeshua and Caleb made it to the promised land. Every single other person died. That's why he started off his saying by, I'm still alive. Caleb could look around and there was not one person, no peer that left Egypt with him. He said, I'm now 85, I'm still alive. And I'm still as strong as I was. And God promised me when I left Rachab's house, wherever my feet tread is mine. Well, he ran to the mountain. So God said, that's what you are going to inherit. I'm closing this service. I really am. And it may not seem to make sense to ask for the mountain, but it's where there is victory. It's where there's prayer. It's where there's sacrifice. It's also where Jesus is coming back to. When his feet touch the mountain. In fact, in Israel, you can't buy land on Mount of Olives because every bit of land has been bought up for graves because the Jews believe that's where the Messiah is coming. And they're right, that's where he's coming back to. Because they know he's coming back on a mountain. Give me my mountain. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to just pray. And we need to have a made up mind in this January. We need to have decided that we're going to seek God with our whole heart. I mean, not play seek God. I mean, seek God. I mean, not pretend we are love him. Not pretend we're going through this thing. Because, as I said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this afternoon for your word. Lord, I pray that you change our hearts, change our directions, that we will run to the mountain, that we declare victory over the giants who want to come and destroy us. Lord, that we will leave the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, because we're going to meet you on the mountaintop. You told Moses to come on up. Lord, we are responding to your cry. We are coming up the mountain. Hallelujah. And we are going to declare victory this year over Satan and his devices and his plans in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for victory and deliverance and healing in our families and over every plot of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we're going to declare like Caleb that we are your servant and we're going to follow you. And you are going to cover us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Church, if you could pray with me just for a little while and let us declare victory and tell the devil you're coming after that mountain.